Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
think I wanna hit the moon.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we're just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wickham, live from Studio A this morning on this beautiful, beautiful day of March 3rd. I tell you, this year's already gone by so fast. And I tell you, always read your African-American newspapers, no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger. We have the Garland Journal. And definitely not least, Texas Metro News. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. I tell you, read. You know, don't get caught not knowing what's going on. Beautiful, beautiful weekend. Lynx doing their thing. The Trinity Group had an outstanding event yesterday, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. Politics. Well, of course, you know, my main thing I've always said about this gun control, we know what's been going on, especially after the Kansas City Chiefs parade. It's just so much going on. What are we going to do, Washington? Who are you afraid of? I think some of them are afraid of themselves. Tim Scott, oh my goodness, what the heck is going on? And I can tell you, President Biden and 45th president of this country down visiting with wildfires. Folks, what the heck is going on? So much is going on around the world. We'll try to cover it. As always, you can have your friends call in and let's have a good old conversation this morning. That's what we need to have, because things are getting a little chaotic, and we just need to do what we have to do. Don't forget our e-blast. You can get on just down to 214-941-0110. You can get on the e-blast. A lot of people still a little slow with their computer savviness, but you can always call. Do it old school way, 214-941-0110. And our e-blast today, beautiful, beautiful, on this beautiful Sunday morning. I always like, she has a feature, look, listen, and feel. That's how I would say it, but she look, listen, and think. We'll go through some items this morning just to get you on board with us this morning. Beautiful day. I will give you some Black history I thoroughly enjoyed last month giving Black history. There would be no history without Black history. I would definitely say that. And I want to say good morning to the Lynx again. The Trinity chapter. There are a collage of pictures from last night. And I did not see Madam President there, but it looks like she was there as well. A great assortment. Dave Whiteman Band performed just as they've always have. They really entertained the folks. So to give you a little bit, don't forget voting. It is Super Tuesday coming up. Get out there and vote, folks. Texas Metro News, we're celebrating 197 years of the Black press. And the Black press matters. We're looking at 50th anniversary of hip-hop. And they even talk about James Brown's daughter asserting that hip-hop owns its existence. They owe their existence to the Godfather of Soul. Papa ain't taking no mess. Say it loud. I'm Black and I'm proud. His daughter say hip-hop or to James Brown. We'll put some James songs and let you determine that. We'll look at that. Some of our political people, we'll go through that because they have some paid ads with us. Judge Stacey Williams is running for Chief 5th District Court of Appeals. Kim Cooks, Justice Better Tether, running for the 5th District of Court of Appeals. Tracy Shelby is running for, and I'll get that. Look, eyes are playing tricks. You know, folks, I tell you all the time, we got to be fair to ourselves. Just make this a little bigger. Here we go. She's running for judge on the 10th Civil District Court. And let me make sure, folks, I apologize. You know, the eyes just ain't what they used to be. We're going to make this thing happen this morning because people have paid a lot of money for these and we want to make sure that we get it right. And I'm telling you, we've condensed a lot of our ads. She's on the 162nd Civil District Court. That's Tracy Shelby. Let me bring everything down a little bit. We have Andre Turner, District County Commissioner, District 1. Sheriff Marion Brown, strong, trusted leadership, keeping Dallas County safe. Running for sheriff. State Senator Royce West, supporting Nathan Johnson. Democratic Party for the March 5th elections. Don't forget, a lot of people have voted early, but you have to Tuesday. Tuesday is the day. All right. Just so much. We'll continue to go through that because voting is so important to us. We have so much going on. If you get online, you can see it's Texas Metro News. Our editor, My Truth, Validate Yourself. A nice article there. Early election matters. If you missed that time frame, we want you to go in and get yourself together and participate in the vote. Again, attended Diamonds and Sneakers. That's the Trinity chapter of the Links. Absolutely wonderful. You know, that's if you're not familiar with that, basically you go dress up. I call it dress up. Tuxedos, formal wear. The only kicker to the puzzle is that you must wear sneakers, tennis shoes, whatever you want to call them. Beautiful event. People even had lights on them. I tell you, people really look forward. The event was absolutely wonderful. I want to thank them, the Trinity Chapter of Links Incorporated, for an outstanding event. A lot of organizations were there in the midst. And you know, again, the Trinity ladies are doing great things throughout the Metroplex, throughout the world. And it was just good to see a lot of the other civic organizations, other fraternities, other sororities, all coming together for one cause, and that's just to help the sisterhood of the Links Incorporated. So they're going to have their national meeting in the Metroplex this summer, maybe a month or two right before the Alpha, they're having their boule here in the Dallas metropolitan area. So again, so much to talk about, so little time to do it in. People, we must, and I repeat, we must participate in the process of voting. Metro News hype, you have to believe the hype. You know, they always say you don't believe the hype. We have to believe some of the hype that's going on, the positive hype that's going to keep us going. It's good to see some of the kids that these organizations are supporting. One young lady talked about if it wasn't for the Links Incorporated, she would not have been able to go to college. They believed in her, and now she says she, as soon as she gets the opportunity, she's going to join the organization. So that's putting the proof in the pudding. You help these kids, and these kids are helping others themselves. So, again, so much is going on. Let's go to the lines and see. All you got to do is press 1. If you know of some things and some activities, press 1. I'll see your hand raised. And if you have something you want to talk about today, that's fine as well. You know, Texas has been stricken by the Border Patrol, immigration. Wow. You had President Biden on one end of the Red River, not the Red River, of the Rio Grande, and the 45th president was on the other end. And I cannot see why, folks. We're playing politics, and I'm just going to tell you, President Biden did bend to try to compromise, gave some things up to try to work with Congress to get some stronger border patrol measures. The 45th president came in and asked the Republicans, of all people that were connected with Senate, connected majority, was not in his favor, but the House was trying to work with the president. He told them not to. Why are you trying to help him? How do you tell that as a former leader? It's about the country. It's not about self. It's about the country. That looms very large in my mind, because how? How can you sit up and say, don't go with him on this, when it's trying to unite this country? We are the United States of America. Why can't we unite? That's where I have a problem. You know, it's not a matter of policies that are stances or positions that others are standing in. It's all about the United States of America coming together for the cause of others. And now you're telling people don't vote, don't support him. We got a long way to go, folks. At times we have just flashes of a country being united, having solidarity, moving forward on the benefit of the citizens of the great country. But where is it? Why? 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 That is one of my questions for today. And it just hurts my heart that we have to go to these measures as a country. And I think it's showing our vulnerability to other countries, that we can't get alone. And who would have thought today that Rodney King would be one of the greatest philosophers ever in the history of America, when he stated, why can't we just get along? Who would have thought that those words would ring so close to your heart? Why just can't we get along? We fight. We show the vulnerability of the country. It's nothing wrong with having different views. Benefit of the whole and not the person. That's what it's about. You know, growing up studying politics, we didn't hear all this fluff that we're hearing now. And fluff was the best word I could come up with. We worked together. I know it was different ideals in the White House. That's the American democracy. But we didn't have people quite going like this. I remember the Nixon election, the first one that he was in with JFK. I listened to that transcript and how nervous Richard Nixon was, who was just as polished as he could be. But it didn't come across when John F. Kennedy won. So it's been around, but now we all kind of get out. This thing has been taken to another level. We'll talk about it. It's open for the floor. All you got to do is press 1. We'll get you in. See, we have some callers from across the country, which is great. Tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. Jill Biden fights back. She puts Trump on notice, talking about her husband. I tell you, this week, one of the strangest photojournalism pieces I've ever seen in my life. When President Biden was talking, I don't even have to tell you what network did it. They focus on his hands. Now, is that selective photojournalism? Not what he was saying. Because actually what he was saying was awesome. It's the fact that they focus on his hands doing his speech. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I'm taken aback over that, how we are doing as a country. Everybody's watching. We the big boys. We the big girls. We the big country on this global, from a global perspective. And we're doing this. Boy, something else is going on. We're going to look a little bit at some of these American medications. How conservative some of the causes were. Let's look at most of the people I'm talking with now. We're getting closer to the age where your seniors, medicine cases, our medicine prices have gone up tremendously. It's almost that you have to, you're at the mercy of your companies. They will only do so much. You got to have so much out of the pocket. A lot of people, when they retire, don't have the resources. They've worked all their lives. Should be something for those who have put in the time for this country. Not only military, but have worked and been a part of the American way. They need help. So we'll look at that. Some of the other highlights is Disneyfication of Bob Marley's religious beliefs. We'll get into that a little bit more. So there's so much going on, so little time to talk about it. Black history still looms large, still. And I'm going to get a little piece of black history that we had just going. And we're going to play America the Beautiful to get you going because I love this. And then I always think about Aretha Franklin's. I want to say a little prayer for this country. But let's see Ray Charles, America the Beautiful.
America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He gave thee crown, that's good. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea.
America,
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 I love you, America. You see, my God, he does shed his grace on thee. And you ought to love him for it, because he crowned that good. He told me he would every brotherhood.
Song. How about that for Ray Charles, America the Beautiful? You know, I just, my pet peeve has been, if we all are Americans, and we could agree that we will disagree, but we should look out for the betterment of the country. We should always think one way is better. What's better for everybody? You know, in the art of negotiation, you got to give to get. And once you get, you take that and you roll with it. But we're so divided, and I've never seen a candidate, especially for a president, that is telling people not to vote one particular way. Is it a group where these current politicians or party members are afraid? They're just being puppets? Come on, folks. You look at some of the primary voting and some of the things that's going on, people voting uncommitted or the lack of voting to show contestants, I guess presidential hopefuls, that they're not going to vote. And these groups are getting stronger and stronger. And that's the American way. We want you to have your ideas, make it feel like you're part of this country. But I think the decisiveness or divisive measures and the decisive outcomes is really showing that we're not as united as we were. What are countries thinking when they see us fighting and bickering, that there's no common ground? If we show the vulnerability to the world, then I'm sure it's absolutely supporting the vulnerability that we have as a country. But where's the united part? It's only in our name, the United States of America. So we got a lot to do, folks. A lot to do. I know how I feel as an African-American male in this world. I'm able to work, I'm able to do, able to provide. But I'm not there unless we're all there. It hurts. Because there are people out here really trying to do what's right, not only for the country, but for their families, first and foremost. But when you get caught in these situations, and maybe that I'm older now, and I wish I had someone that had a little bit more time on this earth than I have. Tell us, has it always been like this? You know, as I get older, I understand more and more. Now, I understand with Kennedy and Nixon, that was kind of mudslinging, things of that nature. But I've never, ever, in my short term on this earth, have seen the bickering, parties, and no ideals, everything, but the bickering of this party for our country. Every news outlet is carrying it. It's just amazing. Amazing. That with the world outlet, the world is seeing how we're fighting. They're seeing how we're not united when we are the United States of America. They're seeing how the party on the left, the party on the right are fighting. When all they have to do is work together. But are we trying to be dictatorships? I'm just afraid if things go the way one party wants, will that particular president try to stay in for life? Give yourself immunity. Stack the courts up. And you know what? Sometimes I see the 45th president. If you don't pick them playing basketball, they're going to take the basketball and go home and nobody play. That's how we're going. If we could use an analogy from my childhood, that is crazy. We have not always gotten our way in certain instances, but what's best for the country? It is so hyper-polarized that it is killing the American democracy. We've always thought we were the land of the milk and honey. Well, the milk is getting sour, and the honey is not as sweet as it's been in the past. Come on, folks. As I mentioned last week, that's the contributions that African Americans have made. From space, Katherine Johnson, to marine biology, genetics, transplants, different research. You don't hear this much. You hear draftsmen. And I want to give you this. Lewis Latimer worked as a draftsman for both Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison, became a member of Edison's pioneer, and served as an expert witness in many light bulb litigation lawsuits, said to have invented the water closet. Folks, there will be no history without black history. For those states that are enjoying the luxuries of, if you don't like the telephone, I know Alexander Graham Bell got the nod. But who put the lines up? Who was on the other end of the phone when he dialed or when he picked up to make a call? Who do you think was on the other end to say hello? Who put the line up? Who was ready to speak when spoken to? You go up in space. Go where no man has ever gone before. And it takes a little black lady. At the age of 6, they realized she had talent. Go in college very young. Come out. You know, she came out better than T.I.'s calculator. Remember T.I. 55? Some of you. I remember when I had to get a T.I. I can't remember the model. It was a scientific calculator with sine and cosine, different tangents that we had to operate. You thought you were smart. At least we knew how to get through the computer. And it started getting more and more scientific. But there was a lady who could do all that in her head. Be able to calculate the projection using the weight and gravity fields, or the lack of gravity fields, out in space. A black woman. We have touched probably every invention that we're enjoying now, electricity, telephones. And this knowledge has gone on to a different level. Can you imagine if it wasn't for Alexander Graham Bell and the brother who put the lines up, that we wouldn't be able to talk the way we're talking on the air today? You wouldn't have the Wi-Fi, you wouldn't have the telephones, you wouldn't have the transmission of television. I'm sure that we did that. I'm going to put everything I got in my left pocket right now, that we were part of the transformation, not only of this country, but of the world. And you can't say Black history. What are you guys trying to hide, DeSantis? Abbott? You don't want your kids to know the punishment that was placed out there on our forefathers and foremothers. They don't want to understand how some of us are very bright. Some of us are very dark. Some of us have hair that's straight. Some have hair that's coarse. They never want to hear that. But when you mix milk with chocolate, that's the way Nestle got started. And we put a little bit of this and a little bit of that, it's going to come out caramel. Yeah, that's just one shade. We're all different shades. From the darkest night to the brightest day. America, wake up. Every day is Black history. Every day is American history. We just want recognition. You understand. You look at Gone with the Wind. That was a movie. Ms. McDaniel got treated decently. But how many McDaniels are out there in the world that were not treated equally? Are not given the opportunity to be themselves? We went through that struggle. And you don't want to chronicle it, which is already chronicled, or you don't want your kids to know how their race treated our race back in the day. How can you, and this is my phrase, how can you move forward when you don't know where you're going? Pulling those books out is a travesty. It's a slap in the face to the American history, to all the historians, all the people that have gotten us through this point through writing. We would not know what happened in the past if it wasn't for historians. People who came in from Ellis Island. Ellis Island, we didn't even get that far. If we say the first people here were Native Americans, then we find out, in the words of what American Airlines would say, American became a popular destination. Some came by boat, mainly by boat. Some had the same outcome when they got to a new country. The only difference, one group was enslaved and the others were free to move about the country. There will be no history today for what transpired yesterday or the days before. And if we want to select what we want the world to know, what are you hiding? What are you hiding? It's about 48 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The World According to Drew. This is Unplugged. This is how I feel. This is what we need to do to get the country on the right foot. We need to work together. We've been asking for that for years. What is America about? If you got an answer, just press 1. Let me know. I want to hear from you. But what is America about? America is about the few. Those individuals that come in from other countries and have world-class projects over here in the States. Millionaires, trillionaires, billionaires. Dollars that I only thought about because we had to put another comma. We had to add extra zeros. And the teacher saying you can eliminate the zeros and make it very simple. Remember the ones that have been stricken out and add it back, and you can do any number in the world. They broke it down, made it simple. Now, if it wasn't for these smartphones, I really think they're making us dumber because we don't think like we should. You got information right there. Right there at your fingertips. And lo and behold, if you misplace your phone or your phone doesn't work, we can't function. We cannot function. So sit back as we embark on the top of the hour. Dr. Rodriguez is going to come and give us some helpful hints. I'm telling you, the sister is bad. She's something else. But as we get closer to the hour, it might have been Black History last month, but I'm going to continue to give you the history that schools would not teach. We have to take it to our kids, to our grandkids, to our friends, to let them know that we are part of this fabric, in that we're not going away. You can do what you want, take this, take that, but we've made an impact, and I'm sure we're going to make more impact on this country or this world than we ever have, because we're getting the tools now. Biochemists. We're getting biomedical engineers. All kind of scientists. Asking us to assume bodies. I'll just tell you this, a former president was assumed. And they found something. And they did not tell what it was. Wow. You see these rail cars every day. They have brakes and couplers. We got to do it, folks. We must do it. So as we go through this clock, this calendar of time, Lee Stiff, who was a mathematician. I'm telling you, folks, we're doing all kind of things. Engineering, security engineering, Microsoft, Mozilla, and Apple. Wendell Snyder. As the kids used to say, you got to check somebody. You got to let them know what's going on. I could continue and continue and will continue. I tell you this, what's on my bucket list, can't wait to President Obama's presidential library is open in Chicago. One thing I've tried to do is go visit a variety of the president's museum. I've been to the one in Arkansas, been to the one in Austin, have not been to College Station. When you visit this, you can feel the grit, the grind, the sweat that these presidents had to go through to get where they were. Most recently, I did the Presidential Library of George Bush. not Herbert Walker, W, in Dallas, just to see what it was all about. The curator for his presidential library, I'm sure they had input from him and his family, was one to just captivate me of some of the things that were going on during that era. During 9/11, just to mention of one, and many other things. But it was a history lesson. He had folks from all over, from his trips, his views. I was just impressed with the layout. I'll put it like that. I'm not going to even sugarcoat it. But to see that, folks, that history, if you're near one, go see it. Kind of learn a little bit. It is something, how many father and sons have been president? I'll Google that. You know, we always think about the first one, potentially. Let me put it in here. How many? Father and son combinations. I'm still, and the reason I'm hesitating is with John Adams and John Quincy. That was one, if I'm not mistaken, but we're going to know. How many father and sons have been president? And the question was, my mind was right, how unusual for it to be a son, father and son, to become president of the United States? It's happened twice in the nation's history. The Adamses, John Adams from 1797 to 1801 to John Quincy, George Herbert Walker Bush, and George W. Bush. Boy, I mean, I did that without Googling, but I just needed confirmation for myself. But I'm telling you, folks, if you get the opportunity to visit, please, if you love history, please go by there. And if you don't love history, please go by there. Because learn, you can be a better voter, better citizen, just kind of understanding where we were and where we are today. Sometimes I feel like we're going backwards. But yesterday is considered history. Today we're living it. Tomorrow we'll find out when that clock strikes midnight tonight. I'm trying to think of a little saying. It'll come to my head that my teacher always told us, we can't do anything about tomorrow. And we can't worry about yesterday, it's gone. We can't worry about tomorrow because it's not here. It's living in it right now. Take that with you. We have to enjoy what we are in right now. Tomorrow's gone. I mean, excuse me. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow's not here. Let's live now. Tell your grandkids, tell your kids history. If you're not sure of any black history, it's all Googleable. Tell them about the patents, golf tees, couplers on trains. We've even gone out of space. Isn't that something? Who would have thought that the tables are not completely level, but they have leveled to a certain degree. Never been level, but they've gotten close. And your young girls and your family, talk to them. Grandparents and parents, encourage them to research and find out some black history. Maybe once a month. I want to say every week because I had to learn something. But once a month, maybe come up with four or five inventors or four or five blacks and their contributions not only to this country, but to the world. That is crucial, folks. That is crucial. It's about 59 minutes after the hour. We've gone through a lot, but we want to hear from you. All you got to do is press 1, and I'll see that your hand is raised. I tell you, I enjoyed Black History Month last month. Oh, my goodness. I had to speak at a couple places, and that's I don't mind doing it. But seeing me and hearing me, it is Black History. There's no excuse for my skin color. I had nothing to do with it. I am a byproduct of my parents. I couldn't do nothing about that. So, folks, I'm saying that to say this. We need to keep this thing going. Need to keep it going. Because we don't know what's promised to us. And we have to live every day like it's our last. And we keep on moving. We keep on moving. I tell you, LBJ, Texas man. Boy, I tell you, it's more presidential libraries. I think in the state of Texas, you have at least 3. It may be 2, Nixon and Reagan out in California. I'll Google that too. If you know it, just let us know. One of my biggest questions, and we'll discuss it the next half, is change going to come? Will it come? We've been working hard a long time. Listen to this, and we'll be back very shortly.
Help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. I'm able It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
What change ever come? I tell you, so much going on in this world. Again, I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio 8 this morning on this third day of March 2024. I tell you, it would seem like we just were having New Year's and time flies. But you know, as I was talking about the presidents, let me just give you a quote I found out about LBJ. And let me tell you my personal experiences with LBJ. My dad in Tampa, they were talking with LBJ when he was vice president. They were trying to do some civil rights things in Tampa with the electric company. Again, he had engineers, people with degrees that could not get jobs in their fields. If they got jobs in their fields, they were not compensated for what they knew, even though they did the work. And I always talk about when my dad gave us information as it related to what was going on at Tampa Electric. In many electric companies, that the brothers had to do the boilers, he had to instill the chemistry in the boilers. You had to keep that valve cool, because if that valve got hot, the chances of an explosion were greater than none. And even my dad with the degree, he had to come out and do some things. And he was in charge of the water that cooled the units. And a guy tried to sabotage him. And my dad said that particular valve got ash gray. Now, ash gray is nothing more than hot. That if that particular piece would have disintegrated, malfunctioned, everything negative about it, if it would have happened, it would have killed many people that day. And my dad had the luxury, or should I say, through this mishap, that the guys actually told who did this, trying to sabotage my father's work. And these, I'm talking about in the 60s. And got rid of the gentleman. Now, I was knee-high to a grasshopper during those days. But I tell you, once this happened and he moved up the ladder, he was a pioneer with the electric company. Was able to use the skills that he learned at Florida A&M University. Skills. But there's so much hate. You know, this place would be such a better place if we just put our energies together for the citizens of this country. I get taken aback because I think about the stories that my dad would tell us, the horror stories, saying that he's lucky to be alive, because if they did not catch the problem, it would have been a problem. Not for just him that they were targeting, would have been a problem for all of people. Close for our electric company. Again, why can't we live on the principle of Rodney King? I know some of you are laughing, but he said something so profound. Why can't we just get along? This has been such a divided country. We are looking at areas in this country where the political prowess of this country is just not black and white anymore. You have a group out of Michigan, groups out of Florida, Texas, that are coming up strong. And it's not all just in black and white, man. When you can hold back people during a primary and tell them, we're going to show you how we're going to get your attention, showing you the uncommitted voters of our state. Unbelievable. Now, how many of us are willing to sacrifice things as we go for the betterment of all? In this case, some, but that's what we do. You can have a lot of nonviolent protests. You can have situations where you can show them better than you can tell them. I'll go with that. It's just a wake-up call. We shouldn't be in situations where we're hurting each other. Because if we hurt each other, we're showing the vulnerability to the world that America is fighting itself. And they will infiltrate somebody to get on that cause with you and work from the inside out. Do we want this? We don't need it. We don't need it. It's about 10 minutes after the hour. You listen to The World According to Drew. If you have a question or a comment, please press 1. I will recognize you, and we'll go from there. Some of the other things, folks, I would like to go through. You know, we're talking about gun control or the lack of it. AKs, ARs, whatever you want to go with. These young kids are getting these guns. They're getting them quite a bit. What are we going to do? You drop the limit. Let's go 21. These youngsters don't need that. You can't go hunting with an assault rifle. These guns are getting out on the street. Sometimes I really feel that it was planted. Some of them were very much planted to destroy neighborhoods throughout this country. I'm going to run through the shootings, which I do every day. Alabama is going through the looking at embryos. I'll give you that update. But are we, with the human rights, or just rights in general, are we trying to pull rights from folks? Since we were on the air last week, a lot has happened, and I'm going to go through it because of gun control. Well, Second Amendment says should care. They were talking about muskets, y'all. Come on. Y'all sit up here and, well, it was right. When those things, we need to amend the Constitution. We need to amend, bring them up to speed. People had muskets, single shot. If you shot at me and missed, there's this great chance that you would have been killed with muskets. Because you got to refill porta powder, gunpowder in there, butt shots or whatever you're using to reload. While you're reloading, I got a good beat on you, and you will be pop. Gun control, I think 21. You hear more and more kids using guns. And parents, if you have guns, please lock them up. Lock them up. Put the little lock so they can't pull the trigger. But lock them up. Well, I want to teach them how to hunt. What are you hunting? Everything other than deer. And you can find a deer in the store, too. That's just excuses. When these kids grow up, and I think that every kid that shoots somebody that are young, you need to get the parents. And I bet you if you do that, these parents will have a different perspective on what is going on. But, yes, since we got off the air last Sunday, on the 25th itself, the second incident of the year for Chicago, a teenager was fatally shot and three others, including another teenager, were injured when two people opened fire upon them. And the Potawatomi, Tommy something, Potawatomi Park in Rogers Park, neighborhood of the city's north side. One killed, three injured, total four people. All right, on the same day, Chicago records its third shooting for the year. Two identified gunmen fatally shot three males and injured a teenage boy inside a residence in West Chatham neighborhood on the city's south side. Milwaukee. After a domestic violence incident turned into a fight, multiple people pulled out firearms and began firing at each other. A 28-year-old man and 21-year-old woman were killed and two others were injured. The shooting occurred in Sherman Park neighborhood on the city's northwest side. On the 29th of February, a 39-year-old man succumbed from injuries at the hospital. Kansas City, Missouri, the fourth incident of this year. An argument in the parking lot during the early morning led to a shooting that killed one and injured three others in South Indian Mound neighborhood. Point Hope, Alaska. A 16-year-old boy was taken into custody. And let me repeat this. A 16-year-old boy was taken into custody after killing two people and seriously injuring others at a home. Folks, I'm telling you, if you have guns, you need to lock them up. Lock them up. A 16-year-old killed two people. The rest of this young boy's life is going to be behind bars. How long? I guess they have to wait till you get 18 to be tried as an adult. But when you're killing two people and seriously injuring another two, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go to college, have a productive life. I'm telling you, folks, with all this violence that we're seeing on television, these kids feel that is the way to respond. It's very unfortunate that a 16-year-old is there for double murder outside the rest of his life. Chicago, on the 26th, the fourth incident of the year, a dispute led to one person killed, four others, including the suspect, were wounded at the Greater Grand Crossing neighborhood in the city's south side. Chicago. Louisville, Kentucky, second incident for the year. Four men were shot, one fatally, at an apartment complex in Fern Creek neighborhood shortly before midnight. Minneapolis, Minnesota, multiple shootings, open fire at the Ventura Village neighborhood, killing a man and injuring three others. Minnesota. Down in my neck of the woods, Orlando, one person was killed and six were injured in the Rosemont neighborhood after an argument over a vehicle escalated. Material things. Now seven people are affected. One is dead. That was in Orlando. Independence, Missouri. A police officer and civil process server were killed. And two other police officers were injured after a man opened fire during an attempt to evict, at a residence. The man was injured in exchange of gunfire and arrested. I'm not going to even touch with that. Somebody's being evicted. Wow. Lexington, Missouri. A teenage boy opened fire and three others. Teenager boys at an apartment complex, killing one and injuring the others. He injured himself in the process. Teenager in Lexington, Missouri. Pembroke, North Carolina. Two people were killed and five others were injured in a shooting at an apartment complex frequently by the University of North Carolina at Pembroke students. A student was among the dead. That's got to be the worst phone call any parent could ever receive. Your kids are off to school and they get killed on the campus. Wow. And I apologize. I was in another screen. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Well,
go ahead,
call
morning.
Good morning,
how are
sir?
You, sir?
Coming to me or not there? Till I heard it tell me you was unmuting me. But how are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
Man, I'm good. I planned on dozing off on you, but you've been so good, I just couldn't turn off Andrew's world this morning.
Well, good. We appreciate it.
But you know, I got something to say. You done touched on some of my hot points, man. You done woke me up.
But that's good. That's what we want. We want you up.
Yeah.
And I know. Yeah. Thank you for sending that information about LBJ. That is
Andrew, I almost lost my job over that because one of them had stepped out of line, and I had to quote it to him. I said, "Man, you too broke to be that stupid." and like they say, and that's when the fight started.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
He got put in his place real quick, though. Let's just put it that way.
Your presence, he got it taken care of
real quick. Hey, but since you last spoke about the guns, let me briefly touch on that. Because you know how I am. I'm all about us being able to protect ourselves. But, Andrew, you touched on something that I always ask them. What are you hunting with basically a machine gun that the Marines use in war? And you know what I want to tell them, or at least ask them. Like an old Red Fox joke. Hey, what you been doing, son? Hunting beans? Yeah, human beings. I think you know how the joke goes. But that's what I want to ask them. They hunt Negroes. That's what they hunting, Andrew. You know, and they'll tell you, "I want my children to be ready." Okay. Well, we need to be ready too. But I'm about responsible gun ownership, Andrew, because I strongly believe and I sort of believed it a little bit before being in the military, but definitely afterwards, I strongly believe if you legislate all of our guns away, only the criminals will have them because they going to get them.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah, they going to get them. And so I'm just about that, man, responsible gun ownership because all of the ones that you mentioned that were children, most of them either got them from their parents. They didn't purchase them. So that's why I'm not really for that age limit thing. They getting it from their parents, Andrew. Just where they get all their other bad habits from. You know?
But here's the thing, Harold. Yes, we know they're getting them from their parents. That I do understand. But again, some of these black markets, I don't know how we'll ever eliminate them. But the thing is it doesn't make it any better if you're 21 and kill versus 16 and kill. But again, the accessibility that these kids are having with the guns.
You're so right.
And you know, they can't go to the firing range to practice. Right. They see TV, how they have the guns cocked to the side. You know what? When you shoot a gun, you got to have it in a line of sight.
That's right. That's right.
Sideways thinking, you know, it's cool. This I'm a spray it. and spraying, and there are a lot of innocent people that are getting bullets that don't even have their name on it from the beginning.
That's right. Well, you nailed it, man. We need to go and put you in office, man, because if we start holding, like we should hold them responsible for minor, when you have minor children, like I got some people that are younger than us that have children in schools, and when their children get these citations for, what do you call it, truancy, the parents get that. So if you're going to be responsible for them for truancy, you should be responsible for them for if they get a hold of your, man, you nailed it on the head with that. If they get a hold of your firearm, you should be held just as responsible for any damages that they do. I agree with that, you know.
But Harry, I can tell you this.
Because you got some of these kids that are killed parents to get, you know what I'm saying? Of course there's going to be,
Did you hear that? The Menendez brothers?
Yeah, right. That's our era, too. That's our generation. Yeah. You're right. You're right, man.
But
it's
crazy,
man.
But I tell you, growing up, Harold, growing up, we knew where the gun was. And I would break my neck trying to not walk on that side of the room because I knew it was up in the closet. Up in the closet. Now, I was going to fire, when I hit the door? No. I said I wasn't going to touch the door.
But, Andrew, that's respect. You knew that if you even got caught with it in your hand, it was your behind.
Consequences.
That's respect, man.
Consequences. But, look, let me go. Right. You know, you're talking about the gun control. Let me get you on there. When you read the Second Amendment, now, remember, the Second Amendment of the Constitution, 1800, 1700, we were founded in 1776. I don't want people to think Andrew don't know that. Yeah, but
right.
Thank you, Mr. Katz, one of my favorite history teachers. And Katz is, a German name, K-A-T-Z, who was one of our coaches. He challenged all the athletes. He said, one thing we won't have at this school, we won't have any dumb athletes. And I didn't realize what he was saying. He was a whole bunch of us around there in his class. But he made us do it. But the Second Amendment is about the right to bear arms and well-regulated militia. I mean, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. Now, they were talking about muskets at the time. There wasn't no ARs, no shotguns, muskets, where... You know what? You had to put the gunpowder and butt shots and whatever yourself. Single shots.
Yeah. But, Andrew, another thing you have to put into that equation is the relevance. They had just got their independence through force and of defending against force. So there was always that imminent danger that war might start back up. So they wanted the citizens to be ready to defend not just themselves, but their union. Kind of like when you get into these discussions with some of the Bible thumpers, they want to take out the little portion and make it fit their agenda rather than taking into the accounts of what was going on at the time when this story or parable was being shared. That's the way I look at the Second Amendment people. They go in there and take out what they want to make it a fit their agendas and ideology, when in all essence, you and I know they trying to hunt us.
Right. The game, look, in game, G-A-M-E, you know, is to hunt us, but the game, like deer and all that, it's folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the game they are in.
Right.
It's a game to them, but the game they're hunting is up, which is very unfortunate because we've made hell of a contributions.
Oh, yeah,
hell of
a
contributions to this country, and still doing
it. Like I think you've even said it before, if they want us to leave, we just take all our inventions that and contributions, won't be nothing left here. You know. So. Hey, man. Andrew, I done told you before in private, and I'll say it over the air. I done been around the world twice, and I don't care. I'm going to exercise my right to vote. I'm going to complain. But, man, ain't nowhere else I want to live right now. So, I'm all about rather than us leaving, let's correct what we can here. But
right.
I don't know about
well, you say that.
It
I say ditto. I agree with you on that. Because, you know, we've been a couple of places. You've been in other capacity. And, you know, I can respect what you're saying because you've been there. You know, it wasn't quite, even though you had some leisure moments.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I always made sure I stepped my foot on the ground and see what the people doing.
Doing some personal interviews. I got it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It would be remiss if we didn't. But anyway, boy, you something else, man. You be trying to catch me slipping, don't you?
Oh, no, but we know you're sharp, so. Look,
yes,
you might stumble a little bit.
But
you're not gonna fall. But again, the Second Amendment is something that, again, Harold, that I don't know if we need to revisit the Constitution and bring it up to speed, because I know the fathers I was about to say James Madison, he might have been on the table, but John Adams and those who wrote the Constitution way back. But they need to revisit it. And they were talking about muskets. You know, they might have had the single shot guns. And now these kids are killing each other. But again, let me just go back to what
I mentioned. Well, let me ask you a question, Andrew. Let me ask you a question. I just thought about this. You say we need to revisit it, right? You know how in our time they're always revisiting the civil rights strides and stuff that we made. So they're always revisiting voting rights.
Correct.
And every time they go to revisit something, they become restrictive to those who are oppressed. So if they can use the Second Amendment to further minorities or disenfranchise people without criminal records to have the right to protect themselves, you really willing to give these people that ability to further disenfranchise them? Just like I said, equated to the way every time they try to go revisit the voting, it hurts us. We the only ones that end up losing.
You know why we lose? Harold, deep down in their mind, they still thinking it's the old time where, hey, we know they really vote. They getting out to vote. Let's do something to deter their thoughts. What can we do? Let's get back to the poll tax. You know, again, that's why our history supports our struggles. You look at what happened in Alabama, there in Montgomery and in other places in that region, going across that Norman Pettus Bridge, they're fighting for voting rights. From Montgomery I'm having a senior moment for a minute. I'll get it straight in a second. But going across that bridge, headed to Montgomery.
Selma? Was it Selma?
Selma. And how could I forget Selma? Thank you so much. Had a senior moment. Now, Selma,
that's
is located,
we both
located in Dallas County. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I heard that. Whoa. Now, let's really see what's going on. But when they fought for those rights and crossed the bridge and came up with the opposition of allowing them to move forward. You know, that really shows that when you're a third of a person, so it's going to take your vote, my vote, and somebody else to be one vote.
That's right.
Come on. And then that feature, let me read this, folks. Harold sent some information to me, and if you ever have some stuff, let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods. Oftentimes I cover from a global perspective, but sometimes it's hard to know what's going on in these little nicks and crannies of this world. But again, LBJ, now they give him a lot of promises. I've been to his library there in Austin, Texas. It says LBJ once was asked why poor white Republicans repeatedly vote against their own best interests. And this was his response. And I quote, if you can convince white people, he's better than the best colored man. He won't know you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him someone to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you, end quote.
Yeah.
If it wasn't Sunday morning, I would say damn. If it's Sunday morning, I won't say
Andrew,
it.
Andrew, that was the 60s and 70s, right? And it's 2024, and Trump, I was supposed to call him Rump and some other names, he's running the same game.
The same month.
He's running game, man. He don't love them.
I think he love himself.
That's it. That's the only thing he love. He don't even love his own family. He proven that.
Let's talk about that, Harold. Let's talk about that. And we have some other callers. If you want to get in, folks, just press 1 if you want to get in with us. All right. He's talking about some of the fines in Atlanta. I mean, they found out. They probably know her blood type. They were digging. How you going to find out her affair way back?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they did everything.
But Andrew, the smartest thing came out of her mouth is, he's the one on trial, not me.
Right. And she had attitude. I loved it.
I loved it. Oh, you're right. She sold her roots.
Yeah. What I do with my time is my business. You know, and like you said, I'm not the one on trial. But it's amazing how they have access to a lot of different things. It's scary, Harold. They may find out something about me I don't even know.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't know I was out of line at that particular time.
Right.
Yeah. Who, me? You know, that type of response. But you mentioned that how President 45, because, you know, if I mention his name, I'm going to give some money to family. Right now I need my little dollar.
Well, you going to do that? Wait.
Yeah, to be honest. But the thing is how people are gravitating to this man. He owed $400 million to New York. He's just setting up the table so he can give his own self-immunity.
Right.
That's what, I mean, you should, as a president, should not be able to give self-immunity because he should be headed that way.
Man,
and
this
look at these primaries. Go ahead.
He's actually skirting the campaign laws, Andrew, and using some of their donations for some of his legal defense. So, man, this is the same guy. You know, we have a short memory when it comes to some things in this country. This is the same guy that gave Obama grief over a birth certificate, but now they're going to give him a second term to the high seat in the land. They trying to.
Right.
Let me catch myself. They trying to. And that had that was a part of this big, what did they call it, the birther something, you know, with the birth certificate for President Obama. That same man has been convicted of crime. He's been colluding with foreign hostile countries and governments. I mean, come on, man. I mean, and you want to give him another shot at this.
I think they're afraid of him, Harold, to be honest.
Oh, they definitely are. He's a thug. I mean, can I say thug on the air?
All right, go ahead.
He's a thug and a bully.
Well, you know, the problem I have is that even...
That boy said, go ahead. You didn't already say it.
No. It's Sunday morning. I try to respect.
Right. Me too. I try, yeah. Andrew. I try.
But what's very complex in my head right now is the fact that when they try to do a bipartisan compromise for the American people, he's telling them, why are you agreeing with the current president?
Right.
It's election year. We need him to fail, not succeed. Will a true American really say that?
Yep. And they did it, though, Andrew. Like you say, they're afraid of it. And they did it. That's the kicker. Not just that we already know he a lowlife and that he would say something like this. They did it, Andrew. And some of them, I ain't going to lie, can't call their names, but some of them even went out and said, now this is ridiculous. We got more of what we want than what he wanted, and y'all not going to take this opportunity? Some of them was brave enough to say that, but I guarantee told you they're going to have retribution. Well, how's that old saying? It's going to be some consequences and repercussions.
Yes.
So, hey, man, bro, I already voted, and I can't wait to do it again in November, man. I got on out there in the primary before early voting was over, but, you know, the real deal is when we have to go up against the opposition. So we need to, like you always say, Andrew, don't wait. Let's start it now, man. Get people ready, mobilize, and get out
you
there,
have
man. Because if you don't vote, I don't want to even hear you complain no more. I seriously believe that in my heart. If you don't vote, man, I'm just as mad at you as I am against him. So.
And that's sad. I mean, just how things are unfolding. And again, Tim Scott, the lady that put you.
Oh,
in
man, that's another curse word. You need to start treating his name like the other one you treat. You said his name. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What you got to say about it? He's a disgrace, bro.
The lady that put you where you are, and you don't have enough. It rhymes with gall.
Right.
Gall. To thank that lady who got you where you are. So are your ideals that different now?
Yeah.
When a guy running for president said it was something blacks for Trump or blacks for government, and I said his name, uh-oh, fam, here you come. when they stated that, I was like, I can't believe this cat.
Yeah,
it's so – that will put it out there. And then he said – since the lights are out, he can see the blacks. What else you need?
Man, what else do you need, man? Andrew, and you, I know you've heard who else he's admitted that's on his short list for VP, right?
Who is that?
Think Abbott. He said it over some one day during this week that our governor was on his short list, you know. For
what? For
running mate. For running mate.
I have to tell you this, what I'm thinking on the air. I'm going to try to show a little respect.
Okay, yeah, Tim, out there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought he would go the other direction with Cruz, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. Well, Cruz got a fight on his hand with Allred. So
exactly.
I'm not quite sure, you know, how that is going to go. But I'm not sure if you run for president and you're a senator, do you have to resign? I know the charter for Dallas was that when Ron Kurt ran for senator, he had to resign. When George W. ran for – yes, he was the mayor then. And then when George W. ran for president, he didn't have to relinquish his seat. If he would have lost, he would have been the governor still.
But your governor did it in Florida just recently, remember? He just changed
the
law.
Yeah,
it's
he changed
crazy,
the law.
Man.
Let me tell you what's
the
going on.
The golden rule. Remember the golden rule, Andrew. He who has the gold makes the rules. They just changed the laws, bro, to fit their agenda.
Their personal agenda.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy to me, bro. In a democracy.
Because, Ryan, let me tell you what the scientist said or what he did. From, you know, with a panhandle, I always say Florida looks like a gun. From the barrel of the gun. From Pensacola all the way to under the hammer. Jacksonville is the hammer.
Okay.
Tampa is the trigger. Clearwater St. Pete is the protecting part of the trigger. And the piece that you hold or the handle is down on the eastern seaboard in the Gulf of Mexico where you hold the gun.
I like that.
There was a stretch from Orlando, or should I say Lake City, which is kind of in the center of the state, right where Interstate 75 and I-10 meet. Right, they headed to that Navy port, Mayport.
Okay. Well, like, what's the name of it? It's not Jacksonville, but...
Yeah, Jacksonville is Mayport, yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Uh-huh. But between Tallahassee and Jacksonville is a little crossroad called Lake City. Right there where two major highways meet. And I think they're the two longest running interstates in this country. One starts in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and runs all the way to Miami.
Wow. Which one is that?
That's 75.
Okay, okay.
And then I-10 run from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way to Los Angeles.
Yep, and that's a fact.
All right, so right there at the crossroads, the census changed the boundaries because there was one black guy, actually he was from FAMU,
mm-hmm.
that lived in the little rural area of Gaston County. Now, if you don't know much about Gaston County at one time was the mushroom capital of the world.
Okay.
98% black. But the 2% owned the city. Do I need to repeat that for you?
No, I'm tuned in. Tuned in.
Right. So this brother had that Gaston County, his home area, Tallahassee, all the way across to Lake City. If that, not even that far, I'm sorry. Might have been Madison. And, Thomas Jefferson, remember Monticello was his place there in Virginia, the home.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is a city called Monticello in Florida. And I'm going to give you one guess to tell me what the county name is. I bet you get it.
Start with a W?
No, I start with a J.
Oh, Jefferson.
Jefferson County. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Father of the hood.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
yeah.
The census came in and changed that. It incorporated further over closer to Jacksonville through the rural area of Florida going almost to Orlando. He made an L out of the district.
Mm.
So now you don't have Gaston County, 98% black. Also mushroom farmers, everything there. Everything. You grow it, it can be grown in Gaston County. And had black folks working at the plants. All right.
Yeah.
So he changed that, so he knocked out Al Lawson.
Man.
And then there was a sister that ran against them, Dems, if I'm not mistaken, was from Orlando. And her section moved up, and he made it more rural to get more people of less color in that in the demographics. That's why I say census is scary, man. He is actually
scary.
Are
we paying attention, though, Andrew? Are we paying attention when these guys do this
like,
kind of stuff on small level, they're going to do it on the big stage.
Absolutely.
Too, big.
And you know what, Harold? When I left Florida, I was very much aware of politics, not to the magnitude of what we're doing now. But the similarities between Texas and Florida are unbelievable. First of all, that's one reason why I moved there. Was no federal income tax. I mean, no state income tax. That was first.
Yeah.
All I knew was federal. All right? And then the way they're going about it, this man has changed up boundaries and selected representatives that are in his best interest. So he can say,
right.
I need XYZ done. Guess what they do? They vote for it.
Right.
XYZ done, sir. And the census is too young. Too young to be thinking like this.
Mm.
Now, DeSantis, I'll let you figure out the origin.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave that alone. Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how the thinking process has been.
But you know how we get kind of like Clarence Thomas-y? Can you imagine how that culture feels about immigrants who come here and then get a little, you know, not even a full generation removed from coming here the way that they came here, you know, because I'm trying to, you know, be politically correct as much as I can. And then they flip. Can you imagine how disenfranchised they feel? Not even a generation sometimes. And then they want to be, now that we've arrived, let's pull up the ladder.
Yes.
You know. Every community has it, Andrew. Every community has one. But man,
yeah,
it's been
good. Don't go. I got some good stuff. I want to get somebody to rejoin us here.
Okay.
And then I'll talk about it. But again, it is a travesty what's going on in the great state of Florida. But I got some good stuff for you here. And maybe they'll get on with us right quick. But again, DeSantis has ruined that thing. Now, 22 hours ago, Harold.
Okay.
DeSantis ordered the guy at University of Florida, U.S. as it's called, to fire all the DEI staff. That's diversity and inclusion, people.
Yeah. Equity and inclusion.
One of the largest universities in the state of Florida. It used to be number one forever. That's like, I think A&M bigger than Texas now. I don't know. And Texas is supposed to be the largest. Well, he just fired Ben Sasse, is the census hatchet man, as University of Florida fires all DEI staff. Now, so what about diversity, inclusion? We're all Americans. So in that case, I guess we're going to be paying all the damn taxes. And folks, family, you got some more money. I cursed. I sure did. Damn it. Harold, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go all the way today.
I hear you.
Because I'm just searching, and I look that this man, DeSantis delivers remarks, and I'm looking at a caption, during a press conference in the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District headquarters at Walt Disney World in Lake Bonavista. The University of Florida is eliminating its chief diversity officer position. And then on the first, they're scrapping the program's staff jobs, and halting any contracts involving because the new law passed last year by the Republican-dominated state legislature. You know what? Let me get my thoughts together, because I'm hot as fish grease right now.
I ain't mad at you on this one.
First of all, you're at Walt Disney, and we all know what Walt Disney represented. But how many kids, Harold, the wonderful world of Disney that we looked at when we were kids, how many people have the Disney Channel on their lineup? How many people look at ABC?
Yeah.
How many people look at ESPN? That's Disney. Disney has gone across all spectrums. And then this cat charges Disney in trying to take over. They had a lifetime exemption from the previous governor. Lifetime, Harold.
It kind of seemed like he wanted a bigger cut, and maybe they just wasn't going for it. So he say, well, watch this. You know how that's how the hillbilly say, hold my beer and watch this? That's what it sounded like he did. Another one of them things that rhyme with gall, you know. You want to see who showed Adam, you know. But that's crazy, man.
You know, he's already out of the presidential. But he can't do that on a larger scale, even though his predecessor is trying to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, again, this
I thought
is
he'd be a running mate there for a while. What you think?
Say it again.
I thought maybe for a while there he was going to have enough juice to try to be Drunk's running mate if he gets up there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to set the table.
Yeah,
and
you never
Haley,
know.
Miss Haley, I thought maybe he'll try to balance the table lady for lady.
Yeah, you never know what he got up.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's a toss-up.
You never know, man.
But I think that at the University of Florida, one of the largest universities, that's like telling FAMU don't give up diversity. We always made a conscious effort to have somebody that's lighter than us.
Mm.
One or two here or there. There are other places. And
we don't do them like they do us, though, Andrew. You know that. We don't do them like they do us. We don't do that.
Yeah, but I'm hot as fish.
Farrakhan famously said that in one of his speeches, Andrew, is that that's their biggest fear, is that we would do to them what they've done to us. But we're not a people of that kind of nature. Oh, man, that's in one of his best speeches. Yeah. Yeah,
but you know what? A lot of companies have been practicing the diversity of having a team that represents a lot, and that might have been it was the gateway for a lot of us to be able to sit on a lot of boards, be included, so that, and now we're trying to go back. You know, honestly, I wish I could create a watch, you know, I've said this over the years.
Backwards.
Instead of time going from left to right and around, we need to go the opposite way because we're going backwards.
Yeah.
But even if we went backwards, we're not going to get any younger. If I can come up with a portion for all of us to drink here, I would.
I would.
I would. I keep my boyish looks all my life. I understand.
Hey, I almost said something, man. I called
myself.
I'm bad.
It is time to
move.
I appreciate it.
No. I'm talking about that sweater you got that you wore to one of Gwen's daughter's events. You don't remember wearing your letter sweater?
I still got in it.
Yeah, you did, sir. You got in it.
Okay.
See, I said I was going to do it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Appreciate you not saying much about it.
Yeah.
But again, you know. But, you know, it's just, what can we do?
We can all
as
relate
to what's going on. You know, we something has to get us upset.
You
something
right,
must.
Okay.
Something must push us. But you know what? We're going to continue this next week. Hold on one second. I got a caller. Let's get
it
right
here. Time?
Hold on. Yeah, it's that time. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the world according to Drew. What's going on in your world this morning? You're hot, 804.
Andrew, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, it's Pam from Richmond, Virginia. I just wanted to make a comment about your topic around DE&I and what can we do. I work for a pretty large pharmaceutical company, and one of the things that we are really trying to do, I think your partner is Harold, is that when we think about clinical trials, specifically as it pertains to, let's say, prostate cancer or even breast cancer, where we know it's a disproportionate share of African Americans that suffer from that horrific cancer. We are really trying to ensure that in our clinical trials that we have a fair representation of our people. And I do feel, you know, I appreciate the negative pieces of this conversation, but I also want to just sprinkle in some positive things that I feel are happening just so that we can remain encouraged. And I just wanted to add that to the conversation for what it's worth.
That's good. That's good. Thank
That's
you.
Very good.
You're so
at least
correct.
You're conscious.
If we don't be included, we won't be included in the results and the benefits. You're so correct. You are. You're very correct.
Mm-hmm. And we appreciate, she's a first-time caller, first-time presenter, and we appreciate you. We really do. And this is what we do every Sunday. We just sit down and talk. We just need a platform to talk about things. And
right,
you know, I'm not trying to start a revolution, but if I'm trying to at least stir you up a little bit so that we can make conscious decisions to involve people. But we thank you so much. You know what? Time has escaped us, and I appreciate both of you for being a part of the World According to Drew. As always, I'll be black next week. And I want to leave you with a little something. It wouldn't be possible without Cheryl Smith giving me the opportunity to work with her. And Angie, she is a Beta Alpha Delta. And we just been working together for so many years. And I thank you. But I thank God for just giving me the gift of gab to be able to do the things that I've been able to do. But I tell you, it's one four-letter word, Harold, that I have to give praise to all the time. And I'm always saying this. I'm just so glad that I'm from FAMU. I'm out. Peace, everybody.